Are you Mandalorian?
I'm a simple man making his way through the galaxy. Like my father before me.
3 Men and a Baby Yoda Podcast. Matthew, Dylan, Callan.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 30 of the 3 Men and a Baby Yoda podcast. I'm Matthew Moll, your host, and joining me tonight are my two co-pilots, Callan Gardner and Dylan Chakalis. Callan, how are you, mate?
I am good. I am good. I'm back at it. I'm in Sydney at the COVID bug, but I'm charging. Been pumped, ready for this ep.
Episode 2, Attack of the Rones for you.
Pretty much, and nailed it in a few days. So, no, everything's all good. It's all ready to get Star Wars heavy into the new year.
Tested positive or negative now?
Negative. Yeah.
Excellent.
Four tests. Fourth one negative.
And ready to go negative or positive on this episode tonight.
We will see.
All right. And Dylan, mate, how are you? Healthy and happy?
Good, man. Yeah, perfectly healthy, feeling 100%. I'm very happy, enjoying my break, had some interesting acquisitions, enjoying Star Wars. We're back in 'tis the season, and feeling good. How are you doing?
Live action has begun. I'm good, man. I had a busy New Year's and Christmas period. I've got some sound deadening on the walls here. Not all the walls, but some of it. So the pod will only be 70% better, but room for improvement. So
no text from your wife to tell you to shut up.
No, well, there's enough to keep me out of trouble, I think. So I think we'll be in good stead tonight. But, you know, joining me tonight, us tonight, our good friend from Terrigal, the king of the Sandcrawler, the original Kenner extraordinaire and probably the best Star Wars tattoo in the Southern Hemisphere, our good friend, Adam St. John Fody. How are you, bud?
Very well. Thank you very much for the esteemed introduction. It's good. It's good. I just don't want to kind of talk about COVID. It's just
exhausting.
Every single second.
Try bloody getting it. No. It's hard not to when you bloody get it.
My mum got it yesterday. Yeah. It's like, I kind of want to avoid it. So I've got it.
Lucky we got Star Wars to crack into and keep us busy. It should be a busy Star Wars year as well.
Now, Adam, I'm going to set the scene here. And like on Disney Plus, they have that sort of audio description for the hearing impaired. You've actually gone out of your way to sort of put a nice little setup behind you, haven't you? This is not your standard setup. This is for our benefit, I believe.
Well, this is the last...
The Last Jedi?
Well, no, I have to remove it all quickly. So this is kind of the last before the wife says, that's it, like, the room is gone.
Yep.
That's it. So essentially, I just have to remove it.
I see. Is that an 8?
It is a backdrop.
Is that an 8D8 droid there? Is that from the episode?
Yeah. Yes. Well, this is the exciting thing about the book. Because I bought that 6 years ago for $300. And who would have thought?
He's back.
That AD-8 would be back in any sort of form. I always liked him. He was in the playset, on the picture of the playset of the droid factory. So I liked him. It's a good 10 seconds of screen time. But who would have known he's back?
That's fantastic. The droid that was talking at the front, that introducing
was,
everyone.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
It's like them. He's the main dude. Yeah. He's the main dude. I like obscure droids, but yeah, I was really pleased that he was even in it.
Well, I mean,
mention that last time.
In Return of the Jedi, he was the torture droid. He was sort of like,
in that droid factory. Yeah. He was just sitting there kind of burning droids.
Torturing droids. Units. So,
torturing, yeah, it was cruel.
Jesus. There's an insect in
Huntsman.
Not a huntsman, just a pretty standard.
A moth.
You guys keep talking. I'm gonna kill this.
There was actually a few droids in the whole episode. I'm sure you're gonna get to them, Adam. You probably know that the droid. I know we're gonna get into it. That was serving the drinks though. That was a little throwback there.
Oh no, 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 no. That was just out of order. Okay. He's like he's fucking Tom Cruise at a cocktail. He's sitting there with a couple of things. There was flowers on it.
Did you see the flowers? I thought that would wind you up.
There was flowers and it's like, come on, guys.
But it was a little bit of a R2-D2 server drinks little vibe, I think.
I don't know.
I would have liked him to take it with a straw in it or something. Would have been funny.
I think there's a certain, I don't know if it's the art directors or whoever's responsible for the animatronics and making things or CGI as always, whatever it is now, is just going do some droids. And those doggy droids as well, the kind of dog ones, kind of walking along like dogs.
Oh, the ones that look like they're from Boston Scientific. They're Boston Dynamics robots
customized. That's fucking hilarious. That is so funny. Yeah.
Not interested. Not interested.
They were out of place. They were out of place.
But Matt, if you're just tuning back
it's
in.
Not for me.
We're just talking about those Boston Dynamics robots. Do you see the dogs walking through the sand?
What were they?
So they're actually stupid. Robots that's what they were. You can buy from the company Boston Dynamics in the States. I believe it's in the States. But they're like a highly intelligent four-legged dog thing that you can control, and it's basically like in its prototype stages, I think. But they legit exist. But all they did was slap a few plates on them, and they pretty much look exactly the same. So.
The U.S. Army has them to carry weight in the field and shit.
They don't belong in the fucking thing.
Yeah, that was funny.
I saw them, but I didn't really pick up on that. But all right, let's get on track.
Okay, so I've still got 10 seconds in. Star Wars logo was 2 gold and 2 yellow.
Not a fan.
Compared to normal.
But I didn't see it. Didn't notice that.
That's 0.1 seconds. Two goldy, two weird. Not a fan.
But yeah, aren't they all a little bit different?
That's the Disney Plus. No,
it has to be that bland. I've got a marketing company. I know my stuff. It has to be that yellow. Why make it all shiny? No need. I'll leave it there.
Well, we're off to a good start. But yeah, look, I mean, that is the. I mean, Steel's not a fan. He hates the helmets. He hates the font. But you can just press skip intro and you just get straight into it. So
you have to watch it.
Just press the button. Press the button.
I'm gonna look for that next time, Adam. I didn't see it, but it'll probably piss me off now that I watch it again.
Yeah. So you'll be appalled when you watch it in detail.
Now your glass it's been shattered now. Next time you see it, you'll just be like, ugh. Just move on. It's not that bad.
Well, if you go to the movies, they do it good. It's like Marvel. Mm. And this is the whole thing which they're trying to do, obviously. Yeah, but the Marvel, you get intros for a good 3 minutes, 4 minutes, again and again. And the new Star Wars the same, but the Mars still is constant.
All right.
It's like, yeah, well done, you've owned it.
So we'll just start off with the episode. Just give us we're going to go into detail, but why don't you just give us an overall thoughts on what were your excitement levels before coming into this, Adam, and how did it hit you overall? Just
really excited. Thought it was great. I am a bit of a traditionalist, though. There were some things that bothered me, and some of the fan service, yet again, not necessary, but I yearned for it.
Mm.
But yeah, it did. It's great. It did give me the buzz of The Mandalorian. That first episode was, I guess, it was that. Kind of different way they're kind of going, and the whole genre, the whole kind of Western genre, dark and twisted and cool. Like, it wasn't that kind of like wow. And there were some really stupid moments. And yeah, I'm a bit of a stickler. Like, the sand people's face were too wrapped up. Why is it like a chief?
Well,
Tusken Raider,
I think
that wasn't even discussed. I mean, what's going on there?
we'll go into that.
I'm hard disagree. I'm way on the other fence here.
Well, Dylan's. Anyway. I think, yeah, well, that's the good thing about tonight. We're going to have a good chat about the episode. Dill, tell us, you know, I think, Dylan, if Danny DeVito walked out in a Darth Vader costume, he'd be like, oh, that's a 10 for me. That's a 10. Tell me how you are.
I'm a bit more of, and I can appreciate where Adam's coming from, obviously.
Disney
I'm more
shill.
Of the lighthearted. Yeah, I'm more of the lighthearted Star Wars fan. Man, I'm loving what I'm seeing on screen. I don't necessarily pay attention to as much detail as a logo or, you know, the colours of things. I'm purely here for the story, purely here for the characters, and that's about it. So for me, I really enjoyed the episode, gave it a good couple watches, and yeah, I've got some good things to say. So we'll get
that's
into
good,
that
man.
A
that's
bit
good.
Later.
Cal, what about you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm probably in the middle. I lean a lot with some of this Adam stuff. I like some traditional shit to be aligned, and I actually thought it was a really slow start, which made sense for what we're trying to do. But I don't know if it's just me, but I think Bob is new year, new me, whatever. He's becoming a bit of a pussy. That's a vibe I got.
He did get beaten the shit out of a lot this episode. So
Why has he got his helmet on?
Yeah, it just seems like he's, I don't know.
Isn't that the whole law?
You're saying if he's been dragged through the desert and dehydrated for like days that he's
going to be I'm not talking about flashbacks. I'm not talking about flashbacks, but yeah. I'm talking about his, it just, I'll be interested to see where it goes between how he actually becomes a badass that he's meant to be, because he was a bit of a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
So
He wasn't hard. Yeah. The whole purpose of Boba Fett is that you watched it when you were 11 and he was the cool guy with the helmet in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but
everyone
also,
liked him because he was hard as fuck.
He also fell into the Sarlacc and died. So yeah.
I've got issues with sand. I've got a whole note on sand.
Well, okay, Anakin, just hold your horses. Hold your horses, Anakin. We know it's coarse and rough and gets everywhere, but we'll get into that. But I'm a bit like Callan as well. I mean, Mando episode 1, season 1, had the, you know, we had the whole hype around the new show, the big Grogu reveal, and, you know, that was epically mental. Season 2, same again. We waited a whole year for it, and then the episode was mental. You had Cobb Vanth, and then you had the crate dragon, and then Boba Fett shows up at the end. Blows your mind hole. So, yeah, obviously, being a man who can't temper my expectations, I wanted that sort of fairy dust crazy moment. Didn't get it. And obviously what we got was a little bit underwhelming by coming from that expectation. But I think, you know, having a bit of time to chill, absorb, you know, it's laying the – it's the Book of Boba Fett. This is the prologue episode. This is the sort of, all right, let's get all that boring shit out of, like, you know, let's explain where he was, what he's been up to, you know – at the end of the episode,
tying loose ends. That's all it is.
He's a disgusting looking, scarred, Sarlacc acid, gross man who needs Bacta every night. Okay, he's a little bit not as good as he was. I mean, yeah, he took out a couple of stormtroopers in the Mando. That was pretty awesome, but he's under a bit of duress now. And you know, I walked to the shops today, and fuck, it was hot. And I felt like my wife took the car and I had to go to the chemist, and it's only about 2Ks. And I was walking through that. I felt like Boba Fett left for dead. and I'm tired. I mean, look how tanned I am. But anyway, we'll go into it. I mean, it was a good start, you know, other than the logo. You know, that Kamino flashback, Geonosis. I mean,
it's hard to judge one episode, you know. That's what we're doing.
You take the good moments, the moments that gave you that fairy dust and those chills, and then we'll go, okay.
I didn't get many. That's the thing. It was a lower rate of I'm 12 again moments.
Definitely. I think, and that's the thing. It was because we were going in after a year's worth of hype, we were expecting lots of big things, and we only got a few, but. We're going to be here every Wednesday watching it. We know we are. Maybe I'll watch it. We're definitely going to watch it, and it's going to deliver. Like
I think there's that level of fan service we've discussed before, but the Mandalorian just went, there you go, here's a Yoda you don't know about. Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
But then, there you go. COD for that. It's like, fucking hell.
And then there was like...
And they haven't done that. They've just got, he's Boba Fett. Going, cool, cool, cool. But now he's in some water that we don't really know about. Why is he in water? Presumably needs some water to live. Or, I don't know. Not explained.
No, they did explain that.
There wasn't dialogue. There wasn't dialogue for 13 minutes.
He said, take me back to the Baxter pod. That's the healing pod from Empire Strikes Back that Luke took after the Wampa. He said Bacta.
I know what it is, but it wasn't explained. He said, all things for new fans. There was nothing.
Well, it's also his memory pod. Like, I thought it was clever that he's obviously healing because he's, you know, he looks great now and he looked disgusting at the end of the Sarlacc. Yeah. So that's his sort of surgery, plastic surgery, healing tank. Maybe, and that's the thing, maybe he's a little reliant on that as well because, you know, he's just been near death and he's probably a little bit of a pussy but also relying on this Bacta pod because he's been under duress. But I liked...
That seems to be the narrative that he needs it every few hours.
Yeah.
So we start on Kamino... Love that. That was pretty sick.
And that was cool.
Geonosis, they sort of, they used a bit of the Daniel Logan, but then they, you could tell it was a new actor. I liked how they sort of, you know, for the people who haven't watched Star Wars as often as well, it sort of gives them, oh, okay, better look into that moment and then go back as well. And then that was cool. That was really cool. And then
the imagery with the helmet was good too. With Boba's reflection in the visor, that was also in Jango's visor.
They,
was nice.
They definitely changed. They changed that, didn't they?
Because I think that whole scene. What was the big lizard that Jango killed right before he died? Not lizard, the rhino thing.
Yeah,
that was
silly
off.
Green
that was off
thing.
The mudhorn. Mudhorn. The mudhorn was.
And there was
the
different.
Scene.
There was different. There was different bodies around that looked different.
Yeah, they had
from
different
the,
battle droids and everything around, but they sort of just recreated the scene. You know, they're giving him that flashback. And then, I mean, Adam, you were playing with Boba Fett toys when you were a kid. This is the question that's, you know, wanted to be answered for the last 40 years. How did the Sarlacc scene hit you?
Well, I was pretty gutted because he just died in a really, really shite way.
Hmm.
I had something kind of just turned around. This is what I have. I thought Boba Fett was like really, really hard. It's kind of
most dangerous just, bounty hunter in the galaxy, and
just kind of turned around and kind of not kind of scraped him, and he went down.
So how did this Sarlacc?
This Sarlacc, we all waited for. There was a fan film a few years ago that kind of tried to recreate it of him walking out and Slave One was there. It was all fantastic. We all wanted that moment when he kind of comes out of the pit. And they did it and it was nice and it was cool. It was cool. I think my sand issue was it's dry sand and then I was looking at the wet sand and then it makes sense because it's quite gooey down the pit. So I guess he had some white wet sand on him.
But it wasn't just...
That's note number 14.
But it wasn't goo as well. That's Sarlacc acid where you sort of... slowly digest over a thousand years.
Over a thousand years.
Like that's the thing. They said in his belly you will find a new, a new what is it? New way of pain, a new level of pain as you are slowly digested over thousands of years. So, it's.
But if you're a little bit hard with armor and a gun, you can get out in about a couple of minutes, 5 minutes.
Well, it's interesting because that stormtrooper, I don't know if you guys noticed, but that doesn't look like it's a stormtrooper from that original scene. It must be... So you know the stormtroopers that were patrolling for R2 and C-3PO? Could that possibly be one of the same troopers that fell into that pit?
Well...
I think you got the silly orange shoulders on.
No,
did they
don't.
Have it on their right shoulder or left?
There were no stormtroopers in the scene, in the original scene, Dylan. It was they just
no,
that's
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So are no. they? Are they? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, move on.
They're from somewhere. They must be from somewhere. I think
they're just someone who got tossed into the Sarlacc. So Tusken's going to fall. I don't know. I don't think we're going to get a backstory on that trooper in the scene. No. But And it's where
someone will write a book at one point.
Yeah. So I'm sure that's going to be.
Did we notice the heartbeat of the Sarlacc and the screech from the original film?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, so if you pay attention, you can actually hear the Sarlacc's heartbeat. It's like boom, boom,
Jesus.
Boom. And then in between, it's got its you know, squeal that it does in the original film, which is pretty cool.
You know, it's funny.
I think that's what John Favreau does, is that kind of constant fan service, but kind of you don't know. You can just kind of
subconscious. You got to look for it sometimes.
Themes, bit of audio, and stuff like that. It's quite clever.
Mm. But I mean, you know, it's funny. Like someone's like, oh, you know, this is retconned the Sarlacc from Special Edition because it didn't have his little squid tentacles. It had like a, you know, had a face piece in the Special Edition. The beak, that's it. But, you know, the Sarlacc died when the Jabba sail barge sort of exploded and all the pieces went in there, so...
But they added the detail with the tendril that's hanging that Han Solo shot to save...
Lando.
It's Luke, right? Yeah. Lando. That's a nice detail that they added there. Like, you know, it's something if you're looking for it, you'll see it.
What about you, Cal?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. That was one of my... I thought it was pretty well done. You know, it was a bit full on. His hand comes out. Like, that was just like...
Zombie-esque.
Yeah. But, like, him... I would have... Like, how he actually got out by the hand. How he got out was very... I thought was all pretty cool.
It's just very symbolic, you know. He's a man raised from the dead. Like, this is a man that should have died or that we thought had died for... dozens of years, and you know, now he's back.
Jesus, yeah,
I agree. I think that was a good moment.
And
like, what else would you do?
Exactly,
that's all right.
Well, I mean, everyone knew it was coming.
I definitely didn't think a flamethrower to the Sarlacc, you know, in a stomach wall or whatever it is, was going to be the way he gets out. But you know, I was pleasantly surprised.
What did you think it was going to do? I mean, it's not like he can throw a thermal detonator, it explodes, and he just flies out the top. Like,
yeah, well, like, that's what I mean. Like, I actually hadn't thought of how he was going to do it, so I didn't really have any expectation, bar we were going to see it.
Because
I guess I wasn't disappointed.
Mando sort of used his giant rifles, you know, electric taser to sort of upset the. Remember the crate dragon when he went in?
And then he
electrocuted him and then flew out and then. So, no, I thought it was done well. It was just really dark. I had to actually turn my lights off and turn the brightness up a bit on that scene. Like, I mean, it is the belly of the Sarlacc, so it's meant to be dark. So, but it was really fucking dark, and I was like, oh, what's going on here?
It's not like Solo, you could actually watch it.
Solo.
I couldn't even see Solo.
Solo was dark.
I'm going blind as I go older, but I couldn't see it. I literally went, I can't see it. I forgot my glasses.
That was definitely a dark
film. It was yellow.
Dark film. But then, you know, we sort of get to the back to tank, and obviously that wasn't 100% clear for you, Adam, but I mean, maybe if he had the nappy on, it might have, that would have been original trilogy. You know, if he had the nappy on, that might clear things up. But, you know, it's his back to tank. It's his, and I think it's clever that, you know, he's healing and then he's like having memories and stuff. So it's a good way that they can
link everything out.
Explain it to the audience what's happening, and rather than going, okay.
What you're saying there, Matt, is like is you know half on the track, right? He's healing physically, but he's got these emotional turmoils and damages done to him. So he's, you know, he might be recovering physically, or you know, not as badass as we would hope, but you know, he's still got these mental PTSD stories that keep happening in, you know, these dreams, as he's saying.
Let's be honest, Zil. I don't think this is the most mentally together person. He's seen his dad's head chopped off when he's 5 years old. He was a bounty hunter from 0 to 5, and then he was if you watch Clone Wars, he was an absolute menace running a bounty hunter, killing people, you know.
Looking for mace.
Let's I don't think he's the most stable person. And you can see that when he fights people, those eyes are fucking scary. So
I think they just they just wanted to display that kind of, that he had weakness, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He's just a man, right?
Yeah. But that's what's really cool about him is that he's got no weakness and he's really hard.
I think it'll get there. I reckon, Adam, they've got to build to it or something in this season. They have to. You can't 100%. Be a pussy the whole
thing. That's the whole thing, yeah. I'm just really, really hard.
Yeah. He just starts walking
around. They're going down this kind of Avengers
route. Shooting people all this shit and kicking the shit out of people.
Like, no one could beat me up.
That's what that's where he needs to get to, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, he's fallible at the moment, and that's the thing. I mean, he was reborn. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he was reborn again in Mando when he took on all those stormtroopers. Got everyone excited. Fat. He's looking trim. CGI, you reckon?
No, it's not CGI. He must be getting on.
He's 61. He's
fucking 60.
That body looks like it was 25. Like, is that his body, you reckon?
I don't know.
Absolutely. Someone's fucked around with it.
No.
Oh, God, Dylan, are you that naive? You're just, Bobby, you're so fit and your rig is so strong.
So you're telling me you've never seen a decent, in-shape 60-year-old?
I'll do some Googling after this episode.
I'll show you some examples later.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, God. Don't send us pictures of old men with rigs.
Anime
porn rigs or something. All right.
When my son was born, completely off track, I went down to the... he was in emergency at that point, and in his notes it said abnormality and it said short penis. So then I went to the midwife. I went, what do you mean short penis? They went, oh, someone did it downstairs. Went upstairs to the other midwife. They went, I've never heard anything like it, short penis. Then I had to Google short penis. And yeah, I Googled it for several days.
Did they just troll you or something?
Is it a troll?
No, some nurse downstairs said short penis. And I said he's just born. Like, then I started Googling large baby penis.
Yeah. Jesus
Christ.
So he
went down the right rabbit hole. Anyway, back to Star Wars.
The cops would be up your door the next day.
I just typed that into the Google. I wish I could clear my search now.
No, you have to.
I will. My wife will be like, what's this? Anyway, so... You know, the show gets going. We sort of get our little fan servicey tributes, get the story we wanted, and then you know it does get going with tributes, and you know, good old Fennec Shand comes, and you know, Boba tells her about his dreams.
I like her. She's a bad bitch, eh? She's going to be good in this. Like, I just got that vibe that I told him, like, kill that motherfucker. I was like, why did they not kill him?
Yeah. Do you feel like a good cop? Do you feel like a good cop, bad cop situation between them? Because it's almost like Boba's, as he's saying, trying to rule with respect. But, you know, you got Fennec of that Jabbar style of just, let's just kill everyone, like that comes across me. And
yeah, I feel like she's trying to, like, treat him like a boss and do all this shit.
It's the Machiavelli approach.
I don't know what that means.
You either rule with respect or you rule with fear. So... You know, you've got Fennec Shand ruling or helping Boba rule with fear, and then you've got the respect side of...
I honestly reckon he's going to... All of a sudden, there'll be an episode and he goes, I'm done ruling with the respect. We're going back to fear. And he just starts capping everyone. I think that's going to come.
I think you're right there. I think it's like, I'm going to rule with respect. And she's like, sure, let's just kill this guy.
Who wanted that Twi'lek guy, the Twi'lek, just to be absolutely...
Yeah.
I was just like, that would have been so good. It would have...
Yeah. That guy was a twat.
Two interesting details I thought about here. Did anyone notice that he's walked off of the Rancor pit before he talked back to Boba and Fennec about the second contact they might receive?
He was on the far side of it. He didn't step on.
Oh, he waited until he goes.
Yeah, you're right, mate.
Oh, yeah. He moved to the road. Goes, oh. Don't be surprised if you get a second delegation or something.
Correct. So he said that as he walked off the pit. So my thought process is, okay, so if Bib Fortuna was here before, in Bad Batch, what was the baby Rancor's? What is it?
Moochie.
Yeah, Moochie. So is it possible that
I watched that? There's a fucking baby rancor called Moochie.
It was.
Yeah, well,
that exists in this world.
He at this time he could be a full fledged rancor. We don't know. So we might have another one, guys.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Okay,
I did think there has to be something down there. Yeah,
we'll see.
Who's that Mortal Kombat?
With Goro.
Kind of essentially.
Save that for. We'll get to that later.
Retard. That was sitting there.
The Sand Kraken, Tatooine's newest animal, from the addition to the flora and fauna of Tatooine.
That was a disgrace.
All right, let's just move past that. We'll save that. We'll get into that. Don't spoil the shit that you hate until. Exactly. So. I mean, if anything, Jar was the biggest fuckwits on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
They're a bunch of cunts.
They're cunts.
Yeah.
Even the vinyl caped ones.
I like, they, in England, they all come from Liverpool, right? They just nick shit. They just nick shit. And I like Jarrahs. They steal things. That's what they do. They just nick stuff.
Here,
even the eyes are all off. The same as the Tusken Raiders. Sand people, fuck it. I don't care what you call them. It's the same. Here, they had like a hierarchy suddenly, and they were a bit like intelligent, and there was a boss with a different fucking outfit, and everyone, it's like, no, they were just meant to be stupid and kind of scavenger dudes. We had these guys, bosses,
but
they all look the same. There was no hierarchy. They weren't like a tribe with a boss or anything like that. But now we've got a whole
Are you asking for the same storytelling for Star Wars forever and not fleshing anything out?
I'm merely commented on it. Yeah. I'm not saying I like it or not like it.
I actually like it.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
I've got some thoughts on the changes. I mean, the Tuskens have had a major facelift and change of personality. They've been rewritten in the current Disney era because, I mean, they were sort of, you know, like Native Americans in the original. They were just savages and sort of just killing anything for anyone. And now they're sort of, you know, they've been working with the Tatooine people and, like, there's a theory, and we're just going off base here, but there's a reason why they think these Tusken Raiders are different. And they might be the Tusken Raiders that worship Darth Vader, because after Anakin took out that whole Tusken Raider village, that story went around around Tatooine, and then there's this sort of group of Tuskens that became obsessed with Darth Vader, and then there's a story in a comic or something where Darth Vader was just floating around Tatooine one day and decided to swing by and just kill some Tusken Raiders because he's having
flashbacks,
PTSD from his mum's death. So he just came down, killed some more, and the legend even grew even more. And these Tusken worshippers worship Vader. I don't think it's going to be that, but there's a reason why these Tuskens are different, and we'll find that out.
In the video games, they're In a couple of video games I've played, there's actually different types, which is massive throwbacks. But like, they're normal, like down the base level, you would never see them. But then there'd be a couple of big boys. You know what I mean? Which I really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
But I mean, in the original trilogy, you wouldn't know if there was. I don't think every Tusken was the same. There was some variations in leaders of the pack. What are you basing your anthropological studies on, Adam? Are you on mute?
No, I think Adam's got a couple of hearing issues.
He's having some tech issues.
Yeah,
I think his AirPods might have run out of battery. So we'll mosey on. But it was good to see that Aquilish.
I think. Are we talking about the Tuskens now, or are we?
Let's just go back to. I mean that. The Trandoshan. Did you pick up on what he brought into the room when he
Yeah,
sort of
no. So what kind of pelt was that? Is that the pelt that Boba wears in that he wears at some point? No.
So Wookiee. That was a Wookiee pelt. Very good, cow.
It was a Wookiee. Okay, it was.
Looked Wookiee-esque anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know what else it could be. It was possibly Bantha, but I don't know.
If- no, it was 100% Wookiee pelt. And basically the boss, the Trandoshans and Wookiees are ever on it. You know, Trandoshans hunt Wookiees for sport.
Yeah.
And so that's probably like it's the sort of highest gift it could give as a tribute.
Interesting.
All righty. So moving on into the sanctuary.
Ooh.
We see our blue friend. Adam, I'm sure this is one of the finer moments in the episode for you.
Yeah, nice touch.
Little Star Wars fairy dust for you.
Yeah, it was nice.
Come on, don't play it down. It was a big moment.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was pretty sweet. That was Cantina 101 right there.
Was keyboard was a bit off, but yeah, not really good play.
But did you notice? Now I want to know who's the Bith that he's playing with? Is that Figrin Dan?
I was so focused on the little blue fella. I must have missed that one.
Did you miss the drummer droid?
No, I saw that, but they choose to ignore it. they must sit there in the fucking bathroom just going, oh, just make shit up. Well, they give it to the junior bloke going, do whatever you want in Star Wars. And they go, wow, and this makes shit droids. There's appalling droids. Or name me a good modern droid.
I'm going to start searching for him the rest of this season. BB-8's a good awesome. Droid.
I'll give you BB-8. He's all right. He's all right.
What about Chopper?
You don't like Chopper? Oh,
Adam's 1977.
I like old school droids.
Yeah.
I want droids made of dustbins and shit.
You want midgets driving the droids.
Yes, yeah. If that was still legal, yeah. I'd prefer that.
Is that not legal anymore?
I think we'd have a tough time now. Surely.
Not with Disney, aren't
we? We need 20 dwarfs.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I don't think so. I mean, it's all CGI now, isn't it? You just don't get that thing.
What was that? The main Twi'lek's name, the
Garsa Whip.
She's smoking. Jesus, I'd date a Twi'lek. Not bad.
So she's from Flashdance. The star of Flashdance.
How old is she? Isn't she?
Did someone say she's old as shit?
She's Flashdance.
Yeah, she was the star of Flashdance. The welder. That's an original movie.
Cal, going for cougars, mate.
Yeah.
I had some good moments to that movie when I was younger. She was
a good looking bird. So she's
she runs the joint.
Paid off Boba. Do you think it was her that sent the dudes, or is that the mayor's work? Do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I'm on the fence with it. Could be either of them, right? I think we haven't seen enough. Yeah, but Yeah, but what's to say she doesn't respect Boba stepping in after Jabba?
Yeah, but Cantinas are a neutral. They play every side Cantina, like in the games and all the shit. Like it's always a neutral place. So, but I'm interested to see when we get to the mayor who that motherfucker is.
So you don't think any of the texts that she said to him, you know, about it's his place now?
Oh, there'd be.
There wasn't any condescending tones or.
No, but I reckon she'll play both sides. I reckon it'll be like both sides type thing.
Now, well, we get out of there and there's a bit of a fight scene. Well, you know, what do you think of the whole ninjas shield sort of arrangement, Cal?
I liked the shields. I didn't like how they fought that much, but I liked the – you don't see many – like new Star Wars tech is always cool. Like that sort of shit.
New? It looks like the shields were
the Magna Guards, the old school.
The Gungans.
Fucking dreadful.
The Gungans? Like the shields, nah, the, they weren't. No. It looked like the shields where Darth Maul and Obi-Wan fought and Qui-Gon.
But it's still Star Wars-y, though.
Magna Guards had them with the staff.
Yeah, but that's the actual, the actual red ray looks very sick.
Yeah, they look like the Riot Police.
They're sick. I like them. Yeah. I think how they fought was a little bit. I like that. Yeah, I liked that big kick, that jump kick that Fennec did. But that was like didn't fuck all, but it was cool. But
not bad for another 50.
What about fucking firing a rocket point blank range? Like, what did he think was going to happen?
Yeah, so that was cool. He was like, "That's the fucking shit I wanted to see."
Rocket that went into the shield that backfired the very at them.
That's where it's like he's a pussy. He's doing dumb shit. But then when he's like, "I've had enough of this shit,"
testing the shield. My question is, is his jetpack not working? What's going on there?
He's only got one for a fucking start. He's only got a spare on him, has he?
I know, but
Arsenal is, you know, he's got one shot, one opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he should use his rocket and his jet. I'm sorry, why does he just fly away?
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't be ditching Fennec.
There must be limited fuel. I mean, seems to be, it's not as hard as we thought. That should be the name of the episode. Bob is not as hard as we thought.
Yeah.
He's actually not that hard.
It was definitely he got a beat down, and
they're
subverting
expectations at him so that when he is extremely hard. I mean, he was pretty hard when he obliterated that guy with his arm rocket. That was pretty.
Are we not going to talk about?
Is that the gratuitous violence you're looking for?
Are we not going to talk about how he just grabbed the fucking electric staff, spear, whatever they're doing?
That's just human hard. That's just human hard. It's not like machine. Heart. That's just straight up human heart.
So, Adam, my question for you though is all the hard stuff he did in 1980s, whatever, is all in your sandpit, in your story. Like, we never actually see him do anything super hard. He wasn't that hard back then. He didn't do anything hard in The Empire Strikes Back. He just.
Nothing.
But that's the vibe. I think his vibe.
He was mysterious. He had no backstory. So
we didn't know about his hardness. Yeah. I just think, to be honest, I haven't thought extensively about Boba Fett's hardness. But I always thought he was really, really hard. And then Mandalorian kind of cemented that. Like, basically, we've got this armor. This is the backstory.
Well, he's the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. We're
really, really hard.
Best bounty hunter in the galaxy. But he's fucking hard.
He's not part of that. That Mandalorian story, though, that's like a sort of outlandish cult original viewing. Like, not everyone's like that. I mean,
he's from that.
He's from a original family.
Is this EU? You're doing EU again?
Matt and Dylan. it's the Mandalorian helmet has significance of hardness, is what Adam's saying. Doesn't matter if his fucker was a Mandalorian or not.
That's a good name for a band.
Yeah. He should have a bit of a hard ass shit. It was coming out. It just wasn't there yet. And I think it's going to come.
It's coming. So we move into sort of what I feel is the weaker part of the episode. I mean, it was good to get the sort of, you know.
What, the parkour chase? Is that what you're going to say? The parkour chase? The weakest part of the episode?
We're moving on. I mean, there was a bit of parkour. I liked how, you know, he's like, keep him alive. Well, he needs one alive. We need someone alive to interrogate. Alive. And then, you know, she only needs one, so she just kicks one off the balcony. That was cool. She's pretty hard. Fennec's hard. Is Fennec hard enough
Fennec's
for
a
you,
hard
Adam?
Bitch.
No, Fennec's simply hard at this point.
She's getting you hard. Okay.
She's hard. She's hard.
So that's good. But I the Tusken backstory and the sand kraken, or the weird Harryhausen monster that just
do we watch a standalone Tusken Raider movie? I mean, it could fucking happen.
I would fucking watch that.
So would I. So would I. We'd watch anything. But
you'd
buy the
toys as well.
I'm a really big fan of the of showing more detail, and I've said it a million times, but of something. I've only seen pieces of them. We've made a lot up in our heads, but to see more of a structure in Tuskens, and I've played, as mentioned before, a lot of the games that had it there. I liked seeing all that shit. Seeing the babies, the kids, you know, all that sort of stuff was cool and beating a little bit Bobber. More detail.
And well, it's easy to beat someone up when they're tied to a stick and hasn't.
He didn't really give a fuck to be fair, because he was just looking straight past them at the chief. So, you know.
And why didn't the Tuskens give him a sort of ride? Why are they just dragging him through the desert? That's pretty.
They're scousers.
Dirty Liverpool cunts. yeah, I mean,
what was their name?
It's called like the Mission or something. I don't know.
Cool.
That was
Come on, open up the Molopedia. Let's go. What are they called, man?
I don't know. I'm gonna look up Tuscan Raiders dog.
Just call him Sand Dog.
Who was that dude?
What
the dog? Was that?
Is that the guy you're talking about? The semi CGI dinosaur dog thing?
Yeah. The dinosaur dog. It's called a massif.
Massif.
Massif letdown for
us. How hard is hard?
Someone made it up.
Yeah.
Everything's no. We've seen it. We've seen it in Mandalorian, and we've seen it in previous.
Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, correct.
And Adam,
they're gonna hang around, always change.
Not to burst your bubble, but all this shit is made up. So,
well,
none of this is real.
It's on air. That's massive.
All right.
So it's not what real.
What about the Rodian? What's
your Sleemo. Sleemo. That's the only thing I made out of the dialogue.
I thought he looked cool. He looked a lot like he was very legit Rodian.
he had boots on though.
He was pussy. Rodian's a pussy, so they, you know.
Not a fan personally.
I don't know why he's there. I'm sure we're going to find out why he was there.
Yeah,
at some stage.
That'll be in a Tuscan movie. Tuscan and a Rodian. Coming out December 20, 2024.
That's a standalone. The kids want to see. That's an origin story.
A massive a Rodian. What is it? A Rodian, a massive, and a Tuscan Raider walk into a bar.
Only one hard bounty hunter comes out.
Netflix will buy it.
But I mean, it was good. I mean, you know, I like Tem's dialogue. I mean, he's sort of putting his little touch on things. You know, he's very big on his Kiwi accent, and I like that. You know, he put "mate" in Star Wars.
I'm sure that was cool.
Adam hates that.
Look, I remember watching Attack of Clones in New Zealand. I was on a visa trip 17 years ago, and you know, they changed the voice. I was annoyed, obviously, about the voice change in the originals. And the whole, it was in Auckland, and they all stood up and went. And he was just like so cool, that kind of local actor. And now look at all this, like he's.
Yeah, he's killing us.
He's never going to get a gig like that again. He's not the best actor, let's be honest. This guy looks a bit moody.
He's doing pretty good.
I think he's all right.
But he's all right, but I'm saying, like, he's not going to get this sort of platform. It's fantastic. Award. It's a good story. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
Well, no one's winning the Academy Award. Disney Plus, but you know, it's more Star Wars. It's better than less Star Wars, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, and it's loyal, and I like the loyalty. You know, like no, keep him. You know, that's good, consistent.
Yeah,
that's my gripe is like when they're not consistent.
Yeah,
but I heard some stories about Tem, and you know, because he never really considered himself Boba Fett, because he wasn't Boba Fett, he was Jango Fett. But he's really big on the convention. He's actually pretty helpful with the he's come back for a lot of the video games and the voices and stuff there. And you know, now he's got this amazing platform, you know, where he can basically be Captain Rex, he can be Commander Cody, he can you know, there's more Star Wars being made at will, and he's going to be around for a lot of it. So
shit, I didn't even actually put that together. He could be playing, yeah, wow.
You that might could see be cool. You'll see, he'll be Captain Rex, he'll be Commander Cody and Kenobi.
But wasn't Rex, there's a theory that Rex is that bearded guy that looks like Santa, Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
So, but all of those people are originally clones.
Clones.
And, but yeah, in Rebels, he gets old. He gets a white beard, and then he becomes that Santa, Return of the Jedi. Yeah. So.
So. Are we going to skip over the whole sand monster thing? We've seen monsters
in God knows.
Mando enough. Like, I'd rather spend a bit of time talking about the Tuskens if we can.
Yeah,
but it's up to you guys.
Sand monster was my least favorite part. I mean, it looked strange. Yeah. It was, you know, he killed it. It was a great way to finish off the episode, but it seems like that formula has been Favreau needs. I'm sorry, mate, but you know the formula has been done. I thank God there wasn't a small child that he adopted, because if that was where they were going with this, it'd just be another Bad Batch Mando. You know, I was like, dude, seriously, like. So I am excited for the next bit. Let's talk. What did you like about the Tuskens, Dylan?
Well, okay. So my take on this whole new Tusken appearance, how they work, and like Adam said earlier, it's a hierarchy now. So you've got the younglings. Where, you know, the youngling that Boba was with this episode had a very short light stick, right? That it's almost like the ranking through the Tuskens is based on their staff that they wield. And to earn their staffs, you know, in that scene where he grabs the staff from the youngling and says, you know, what does he say? Like, hold it, I'd like some water or something like that, right? It's almost that. We can see, like, compared to where we see him in Mando with the gaffy stick, with the large gaffy stick, which one of the Tusken Raiders is wielding when she duels him, or I assume it's a she.
It's a she.
Yep, cool. So you can see now, you've now got to start where, okay, Boba's wielding, and he walks back to the camp with that stick. So you've now got the contrast and the juxtaposition where we've got a small staff Boba. You got a small staff Boba who is going to transition through the rankings within the Tusken Raiders, maybe stay with them for a little bit, eventually go off world to find his armor again, where he's wielding a proper gaffy stick. Or, you know, he stays on Tatooine because whatever. But I think, to me, that's important. Like, now we're actually seeing a bit of a backstory as to who the Tuskens are. They're not just a dumb race who just, you know, yell for the sake of yelling and shoot everyone at the Boon to Eve. It's, you know, they're a cool guy, you know. They're cool.
But I think I'm looking forward to seeing more of them. I think it's depending on what role they play in this series, but it'll be definitely cool to see more of them.
Well, that's the thing, you know, what we saw Boba Fett in Mandalorian, it was 5 years after the Sarlacc. So, obviously, you know, you saw him pathetically dueling with his gaffy stick in this episode. I think he's going to spend a few years with the Tuskens, and they're not going to... Oh, fuck, I hope they don't spend more than one episode explaining it. It can be done in 10 minutes. Like, yes.
But what's to say the Tuskens don't hang around and work with Boba on Tatooine now?
Well, and that's because the thing. He might be using it to unite.
Yeah, because if you look back at that scene where the youngling... Because my question for this episode was, what was the significance of the youngling leading the Rodian and Boba to the moisture farm, where they sprayed that insignia on the farmhouse, right?
Mm.
So is that gang the same gang that we see in Mandalorian?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Adam, you know, what race of alien? That wasn't a Nikto, was it? That was just sort of...
No, they're this guy.
We've seen them in Mandalorian, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they might be the ones that
outside
stole
of
Grogu, but...
the traditional stuff, I have no idea what race they are, but they're just scavenger sandy people, aren't they?
They obviously just... Yeah,
you know, it's different kind of versions of their staff, like two things instead of one thing and all that stuff.
But either way, like, is the... Like, was the goal there... Were they trying to take the water from the moisture farm themselves? Is it... Because immediately after that scene, they go and start digging in the sand for those little water seed pod things, right?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
You know,
surely Disney aren't putting all their thought and writing processes in the kind of, like, moisture raping of Tatooine by Tusken Raiders.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
the most important thing on Tatooine is water. right? To the Tuskens, to the people, to everyone. So if water is the key to Tatooine, as well as, you know, the underworld that they have, if Boba works with these Tusken Raiders, builds and gets his story that, you know, he's this new warlord for the Tusken Raiders and all warlord of Tatooine, you know, we could be seeing a unity between all these different clans of the Tusken Raiders. But I don't think we're going
to do that. Jabba was a bit of a kind of dealer and realer, wasn't he? With kind of minerals and waters and stuff. That was his kind of score, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, originally, like, you know,
the huts were just kind of
the Lars Moisture Farm. You know, they're always worried about, you know, sand people at night and turning the power off so that their farm was sort of visible and keeping off the radar, so to speak. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Moisture farmers, they farm water, but they're constantly being stolen from because and pillaged because, you know, everyone's thirsty. So it'd be interesting to see where it goes. I mean, I remember, is that the thing in those little sand, like water, you know,
it's like a balls seed.
Like, remember how the Tusken offered it to Mando and Cobb Vanth, and Cobb Vanth's like, I don't want that. It stinks. That was shown in episode one. But Adam, you saw a bit of an article or a theory about what those little balls things are on the gaffy sticks that did not please you at all.
Oh yeah. He was drinking the water. It was from the end of the gaffy, but yeah, it's a bit of.
I think they just open it with
speculation, I guess.
Just like. The gaffy stick has multiple uses.
They opened it with their hand when they were digging for them. What do you mean? Boba just punctured it with his thumb.
Yeah, but I think sometimes they just open it with the gaffy stick. The gaffy stick's got multiple uses. They clean the Bantha's teeth with the gaffy stick as well. So,
I think it's going to get more exciting than it is at the moment.
Yeah, agreed.
Hopefully.
All right,
it's not kind of a mind blower at the moment, I don't think. It's not kind of like a wow.
It's not yet.
There's a quick judgment.
All right, give it a rating. A letter rating. A plus, B minus, C minus, D minus. Where does it sit with you, Adam? I'm guessing not the highest.
Okay, B minus for it.
B minus? Mate, you have been negging on this.
You've been absolutely shitting on it this episode. B minus is fair.
My only opinion is the negative things. There's only eight really bad things.
Okay.
Star Wars, so.
What are the positives for you in this episode then, Adam? I'm keen to hear what you actually
I'm furious about the Gamorrean guards. I can't go past that.
Okay, yeah.
They lost a bit of weight. We're in a weight conscious world. They got a bit of Weight Watchers.
It's the color, man. Color.
Yeah. It's not the color, it's the weight as well.
Yeah, it was weird that they're
not good enough. They're not good enough. They're too well built. They should be fat.
Yeah, they should. Definitely should have fat.
It was okay, and it'd be enjoyable when it would be. It's fantastic, but yeah, it's episode one.
Episode one.
If you do that much fan service and get everything a little bit wrong, it worries me. That's what I liked about the Mandalorian. That it wasn't purely about fan service. It did seem to be a separate story that was really cool.
Mm. Alrighty, so B minus for you, Adam. Callum, what about you?
I went B. B.
Oof.
Mainly due to a couple of the starting scenes that put it up there with the Star Wars vibes for me that made it pretty cool. So,
okay. Mm. Dill, I'm thinking higher end of the spectrum for you, you little Disney lover.
Look, I can't say it's 10 out of 10, so I wouldn't give it an A+ or an S for, you know, top tier. I'll give it a B+. I'll temper my expectation, and you know there are things that I wish they didn't do, like the monster and you know, that moisture farm bit really confused me, but besides that I really enjoyed all other aspects. So
B for me as well.
I think Goro was a kind of deciding factor why they used a Mortal Kombat kind of villain in the piece.
Had a lot of inspiration there, but
It was. I mean, look, there are ways to gain respect of the tribe, and if that's how he has to do it, great. Like, I'm excited for what's to come because, look, it would have been better if. I think the episode could have been 15 minutes longer. They could have cut some of the backstories out and fleshed out, and then not a cliffhanger, but have something huge for the next episode. Like, I really feel the next episode will be longer, deeper, and, you know, we've only got 7 episodes, 6 left. So they don't have time to play with a lot of filler. And I feel like this wasn't filler, but it was, like you said, plugging the gaps, getting everything ready, laying the groundwork for the normies who don't know who Boba Fett is or only watch The Mandalorian. So, you know, the scene is set. Adam, don't give in.
I'd be very interested after the season. Adam, I want to speak to you again, see where we are at the end.
It won't be about the Tusken Raiders.
It won't be about the Tusken Raiders. Let's hope not.
I'm positive.
It's just I just pick up on there.
I can appreciate you, Adam, where, you know, these the things you're bringing up are definitely not something, one, I'm of the age.
You're not even aware of them.
No, correct. Well, I didn't grow up in the era that you guys have. I'm 20, almost 25 years younger than you blokes. So
that toy is about 15 years older than you are.
No doubt. So,
but it's not for us. I said this before. It's not for us anymore. It's for the kids. Yeah, and it's a new story, and they're making it still adult and contemporary and really cool, and I appreciate that. Mandalorian kind of wicked, man.
Yeah.
But, I just don't think the kids care about the Tusken Raiders, and it just, I don't know, is it slowly going to become the Avengers?
No.
That's my only fear of this shit.
I see where Adam's coming from there, and, you know, that's probably something I'd be worried about as well, but I think they surely, and this might be putting too much faith, but surely they have some direction. You know, there has to be a different archetype rather than this whole, you know, break people down, build everyone back up to this one big, you know, hypothetically, let's say Thrawn. But anyway.
We're building towards that. So, no, it's been fun, guys. Episode 1, you know, set up the scene. We've got 6 more weeks to go. And I have a feeling the next episode is going to be really good. You know, they could have. I also think like there was a lot of trailery moments. They sort of played on that, get it out of the way, and now they're going to really cut deep into the story. So
it was shot really well. Cinematography, like bang on, like proper, just like The Mandalorian. Like big, lovely wide shots, great. Not too CGI, except for the droid with the flowers, but blah blah. But, like, it was pretty cool. Yeah, like. There's a lot of money in it. Stylistically, it's fantastic. A little bit dark at times. But the little bit of jumping up and down to the parkour thing, that seemed like a kind of cheapish, kind of oversaturated or something. But
that
looked kind of a bit amateur hour for me. It was a bit like a crap Matrix. It didn't have that mood to it, you know.
Adam, if you're a Matrix fan, don't go watch a new film, mate. I'll tell you now.
I meant to go tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, sorry to go off tangent, guys, but it doesn't add or take away anything from the series. It's more like, yep, that's the
there you then. Go. I won't go. I can't be asked anyway. Everyone's got COVID.
Adam, they should have left it at the 3, and that was it. So
I saw a good meme, and it said, I'm not going to give any spoilers. I haven't seen it either. But it said if you're looking for a new Matrix film that has a lot of little coffees in it and it had like 4 scenes where they're drinking little lattes, then this is the movie for you. If not, don't go see it. So
don't get your hopes up, Adam. That's all I can say, mate.
No, I won't go. You've done it now.
you've ruined it for him. Adam, why don't you tell us, the good people, where we can find you and
I still haven't done the Chris Connoisseur. I've got a new channel called The Subway Saga, which is me
eating Subway
sandwiches. I did over 50 deliveries with Subway, so I rated every one, and every single one of them was wrong. So no about way. Five, six in, I thought, let's capture this interesting content. And it keeps continuing. So I'm going to do them in blocks.
Yeah.
And it will be, if you're an AdFoot one on YouTube, and it will be the Subway Saga. And Chris Connoisseur is happening very soon. I've shot the first episode, so.
That's exciting, mate. We'll make sure you share it.
It's particularly good because they constantly, constantly get it wrong. I'm now ordering it and I don't even like it. The other day, I was disappointed they got it right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a waste of $30 and it was perfect.
Ah, oh, dear.
So hopefully they'll continue to be appalling.
So Subway Saga is the next Supersize Me.
I hope that in 7-8 weeks' time we can come back and have another chat around what we've seen.
Yeah. I'm positive. I don't want to have a negative vibe. Did I sound negative?
Maybe a little bit. But it's the thing. I'm not overly positive about this episode. I thought it was good, but not great. I want to be mind blown, and it's coming. I'm hoping.
When was the last time you were mind blown by Star Wars?
Oh, fucking when Luke Skywalker came back.
Yeah.
I was mind blown 2 weeks ago when Mark Hamill retweeted me talking about that
did
moment. He fucking retweeted my phone.
Oh, that's pinned on your Twitter, isn't it? Is that
no,
the one?
No, that's the one he liked. But then, like, on the year anniversary, this is the confirmation that Mark Hamill loves this podcast. I wrote something like, you know, it's 1 year to the day since the great man came back. Fuck, what a moment. And then, liked it, and I was like, yay! And then a few hours later, he's like, oh, you know, happy 1 year anniversary. And also thanks to Max Gordon Lloyd or whatever who played my handsome stunt double. What a great moment. And my tweet was attached to it. And fuck, the phone just went. I just put it on silent for two. I'm still getting cool, notifications. So that was my fairy dust moment, and my brother's like,
"We're Mark Hamill's favorite podcast now."
We are. People are going to think Mark Hamill loves your podcast. I'm like, what do you mean? People are going to think he does?
He's one of those dudes. If you message him, he'd probably go, "Yeah, it is, whatever," and just do it. Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Reach out.
Absolutely does not read my DMs. So I'll be wasting my time. But you know. Let me know when you get a retweet, Ed.
That's his PA going. It's the Australian guys again.
All right, that's enough negativity. I think we're done here. Nah, thanks for coming, mate. It's good to catch up and hear your voice. Guys. And look, may the force be with you all.
May the force be with all of us.
Nice chatting, Adam. See you, mate.
See you, mate.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We really appreciate you listening. We will be back next week to review the next episode of The Book of Boba Fett. And joining us, I'm very excited to say, will be Star Wars spelt out Josh Chapman. We will look to deep dive into all things from the episode as we did this week. Please leave us a review if you like what you hear, and we look forward to catching up with you all soon.